Hi, my name is Mike Dillard, and this is Self-Made Man, the podcast for men who want to leave their mark on the world and create a legacy of honor, integrity, and achievement in every aspect of their lives. I'm glad you're here, and once again, it is time to forge your destiny. So when it comes to starting a business or achieving financial freedom, there is one skill that rules them all, and that is your ability to sell. If you've not acquired that ability to consistently sell your product or service and produce cash flow on demand, you don't have a business, and you never will, period. And when it comes to selling on the internet, well, your ability to do that is directly related to your mastery of writing persuasive copy. From the headline on your Facebook or banner ad to the copy on your sales page or the script of your sales video, you have to sell remotely to people you will likely never see or meet. And copywriting is the superpower that gives you that ability. So here today, we're joined by my good friend and one of the best copywriters in the world, Craig Clemens. Over the last 7 years, Craig has written many of the biggest direct response campaigns on the internet, the most successful of which brought in over 33,000 paying new customers in its first 48 hours, all from cold traffic. And as you're going to hear today, he was also the author of the sales pieces for one of my mentors, Eben Pagan, and his relationship company, Double Your Dating, which produced annually over $20 million in revenue. Now, make sure that you stay until the end of this episode, because we are going to start talking about and delivering some insanely valuable advice when it comes to writing effective sales copy, specifically in today's really skeptical ADD marketplace that will have a massive effect on your bottom line. And just as a heads up, I've actually been thinking about this topic a lot lately. And in fact, I've spent the past 3 weeks writing and producing a massive training webinar on the formula that I use to write all of my marketing pieces. And I'll be posting that online for free towards the end of this month. So keep an eye out. With that being said, here is master copywriter Craig Clemens. All right, welcome back, everybody. Today, we are with a good friend of mine that I've known for almost 10 years. He is the man behind some of the best copywriting out there in the world. Specifically, he got his start with my mentor, Eben Pagan, and did all of the sales copy for Eben's products when it came to personal development and relationships. And his name is Mr. Craig Clemens. So, Craig, welcome to the show, brother.
Thanks, Mike. Super stoked to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. It's man, it's been a long time, almost 10 years since I think we probably first met, and we've both come a long way, brother. So I'm really super excited to have you on the show and to really share your words of wisdom with our audience, because you know, there's some personal stuff we're going to talk about and there's some business stuff that we're going to talk about, and I have to say that they are both equally important, and you've got some crazy freaking stories, man. So I'm excited to hear those as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if you could tell everybody who's listening a little bit about yourself and your story and how you became an entrepreneur, because you're definitely one of the men behind the scenes, if you will, you know, who's not necessarily on the forefront of a business, but you're one of the powerhouses that makes them run.
Yeah, so my story starts about 13 years ago. I was in my early 20s. I was living in San Diego, California, living one McDonald's coupon to the next. A typical meal for me, I remember, was going to McDonald's with the dollar off coupon for the two cheeseburger value meal. And I was at that age where most of my friends were starting to graduate college, and I had nearly flunked out of high school. I graduated with a 1.7 GPA. Only way I was actually able to graduate was because my mom knew the principal and was able to pull some strings there. And I had to go to summer school for a semester too. My senior year after everyone else graduated, I was still in summer school. But I got that diploma, and then I tried to go to college because that was what my parents wanted me to do. And I'm just not good in a classroom. I dropped out a couple of years later, and all my friends who did have their shit together moved down to San Diego to go to the universities down there. So I moved down there and got into some weird jobs, working like boiler rooms, telemarketing, shit like that, you know. And I remember when I was about 23, that was when they were starting to graduate college and getting real jobs with salaries and benefits and things like that. And I was still stuck smiling and dialing in the freaking phone rooms, you know, I remember Chipotle was like a rare treat for me. If I was going to splurge, that was my splurge meal. I was really feeling that pain of like feeling like I'd screwed up and I didn't know how to fix it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's remarkably similar to mine. Didn't enjoy school, failed my first semester of college, had to go to summer school every single semester, and my frequent stop or food of choice, if you was, with it was the Taco Bell dollar menu.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I was probably at the McDonald's next door.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I was down there and I knew I could sell because I was working in these phone rooms and doing telephone sales. And my backup plan, I told my parents, I was like, Mom and Dad, if I'm 25 years old and I'm not making any money, what I'll do is I'll become a stockbroker. And then I'm guaranteed to make 100 grand a year. But I don't want to get up at 5 a.m., you know, when the market's open. So I'm going to just try my luck with some of these other things. But I have that backup plan. And my parents thought that was a terrible idea, but that gave me that security, right? But then, you know, this is the early 2000s and the internet was starting to come out with like E-Trade and sites like that that put the stockbrokers out of business. Pretty soon people were trading their own stocks. So that career kind of disappeared back then. Like, so I'm looking around and I'm like, oh, fuck, my backup plan's gone. I was bouncing from one dead end telemarketing job to another. All my friends who had gone to college were getting real jobs. And I'm just like, shit, I'm screwed. I mean, I didn't even have money to go out to $2 drink nights. So yeah, that was a rough point for me. And what was the toughest part of it was I just couldn't see an out. So around that time was when I met your mentor as well, Eben Pagan. And we had stayed in touch.
How did you meet Eben?
So when I was in my younger days, like late teens, I had stumbled across these pickup artist forums on the internet. And I met Mystery, who later had a reality TV show and was like, you know, one of these like well-known pickup artist guys. And I became friends with Mystery and Neil Strauss, who wrote The Game. And Eben was also one of the guys who would like participate in these forums where guys would talk about, you know, strategies to get dates and ask girls out. And I was a hopeless loser with women. Like, I didn't lose my virginity until I was like 21 years old. So I was in there just like trying to figure that thing out as well, you know, and I made these friends who were kind of in the same boat. And Eben was one of the guys who kind of figured it out. And I remember talking to him after, you know, it'd been a few years and I'm like, what are you up to? And he's like, well, I wrote an ebook that talks about how to meet women. And I was like, what's an ebook? And he said, well, it's a downloadable file. So people get the file and then they print out the book at home. I was like, well, and you're selling that to people. He's like, yeah, I sell for $40. I was like, well, so you're selling them nothing. He's like, no, it's the information inside. They pay for that. I was like, is that even legal? he's like, yeah. And then I sell a ton of them. I sold $4,000 worth of them last month. And then I was like, holy shit, because that was a ton of money, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So remember, I thought he was going to go to jail or something for selling this air. But talked to him a month later and he's like, yeah, I made 17 grand last month selling this ebook. And I was like, holy shit, I hadn't like seen 17 grand in a few years. I did have one job when I was 21 selling credit card merchant accounts where I'd made about $40,000 in a year. And I hadn't paid any taxes on it, which I was supposed to do because I was an independent contractor. So I was like a bunch in debt at this point too, to the IRS. And yeah, that funny side note, that sucked. But then I talked to him a month later and I'm like, how's that ebook going, buddy? And I kept expecting him to be like, oh, it exploded or, you know, it stopped, whatever. But he's like, I made $70,000 selling the ebook last month. At this point, I was like, okay, man, I'm coming to work for you. I don't care if I need to make coffee, shine your shoes. You tell me what you need and I'm going to do it. Because ever since I'd had that job selling credit card merchant accounts, the most I'd made in a year after that $40,000 a year was like $12,000, you know, which is like barely even enough to live, especially if you're paying taxes on it, which I wasn't. So I was trying to convince Eben to hire me, but he wasn't having it. You know, he just saw me as some, you know, party animal kid going out 7 nights a week and he was right. You know, I was quite the animal back in those days.
So what happened? How did you flip this story? Because obviously you ended up working together.
Yeah. So I noticed he wrote this newsletter that would have like dating tips and advice, and it would go out a couple, three times a week. And I got them on in my email, and I was reading them. I was like, I could write this shit. So one night, I remember it was a Friday night, and I didn't go out to the bar, which was super rare. Maybe I didn't have any friends that want to go out, or maybe I didn't have money for $2 drinks. Who knows? But I was like, I'm going to write one of these. So I sat down and I wrote one, and I remember it was called Two Ways to Kiss a Girl Without Rejection. And I wrote up like two ways to do that I had come up with. And I was very careful to write it in the exact writing style that Eben wrote in. And I didn't know it at the time, but that was the copywriting style, you know, the speaking one-to-one, like a personal intimate conversation, and wrote that. I sent it to him and he emailed me back and he's like, okay, now we can talk. So I was pretty stoked at that point. I got on the phone with him. And I remember because my roommate was a surfer guy that used to like smoke a ton of weed and have people over at our apartment, like every afternoon, there'd be like a mini reggae party going on in our apartment. I had to take the call with Eben in my truck. So I remember being out in the street in my truck, which was like my office at the time, talking to Eben about business. And he made me an offer to come to work for him at a salary of $3,000 a month, which was life-changing money for me at the time. I instantly said yes. And I started working for him, really doing customer service. Like when people would have a question about the ebook and would write in, if it was a technical question, it would go to someone else. But if it was a question like, hey, will this help me get my ex-girlfriend back? Or, you know, I'm 35 years old and haven't had a date in 10 years. Is this going to help me start going on more dates with women? I would write back those questions with answers that would let them know like, hey, actually, yeah, on page 10, there's a way to start a conversation with women that'll have you meeting, you know, five new girls this weekend if you use it. So give it a try. And if you don't like it, write me back. I'll personally make sure you get your money back. So I was answering those questions. So I was kind of learning the sales process at the time in doing that with him.
Well, that was really giving you some very intimate insight into the thoughts and the questions and the concerns and the challenges that potential customers, you know, had in their heads, which I think is priceless.
Yeah, absolutely. And these days we'll fast forward later, but I've got a team of writers working under me, and I tell them to go and, you know, listen to the customer service calls that come in, read those emails, read all of our reviews on Amazon and things like that. And then, you know, find out what the customer is thinking and what their needs are and, you know, how we can better address them.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So you've started with Eben. You do customer service for a little bit, and you're essentially acquiring the skill of copywriting. When did that become an actual term for you where you're like, or a skill set where it's like, okay, I need to go really learn this?
Well, I'd actually worked for him for probably 2 years before he started teaching me how to write sales copy. I was just doing everything from like buying banner ads to managing the affiliate program, even did like some SEO like stuff, which is funny because I can't code a website to save my life. But I heard people talk about it at a seminar. So I came home and I was like, hey, we should do blogs and, you know, link them together and ping networks and shit like that. You know?
Right, right.
It was like probably 2 years there. And he's like, hey, I want you to sit in the back of the room during this next dating seminar. And I want you to take notes and turn them into bullet points. And I had been reading a lot of sales copy from guys like Gary Halbert and Dan Kennedy at the time. So I sat in the back of the room and I took notes in the seminar. I tried to write them into bullet points, and I didn't want to send them to Eben first. So I sent them around to like some of the other guys in the team. And I was like, hey, what do you guys think of these? Like, can you highlight the ones that are your favorites? And I'm going to send those to Eben. And I remember the guy who was a guy named Rob Kelly was kind of he was the CEO of the company. He wrote back and he's like, honestly, man, I don't think any of them are very good. It's like, shit. So, I was definitely not a natural copywriter by any means, but I kept working on those bullet points, and I went and looked at some John Carlton stuff and some stuff that Yannick Silver had done. And I like looked at the formulas they were using, and I did you know, there's a reason it's called copywriting. I copied some of their bullet formulas and was able to come up with something good enough to show to Eben. And then I showed it to him he wasn't too impressed, but that was the benefit of having one of the best copywriters in the world as my mentor, is he was able to show me what I was doing wrong and how to tweak that sales copy to make it more impactful.
Awesome. So eventually this ends up in a really big success story between you guys. So where did you go from there?
Yeah. So he kept smacking me around and I just decided I was going to make the commitment to get serious about this. And I hadn't really gotten serious about anything business-wise at all in my life at that point. But I started reading every marketing book I could get my hands on. I just focused on immersing myself. You know, I didn't listen to music in my truck. I would listen to marketing programs over and over again. And even when I would go to lunch, I would always have a book with me, whether it was Ogilvy on advertising or you know, John Capel's book. I remember like sitting at In-N-Out Burger waiting for my In-N-Out meal, reading tested advertising methods and highlighting the good stuff in there, you know. And this went on for about 3 years, and because of the focus I had and because I immersed myself in it, along with being able to bounce my sales copy off of Eben and get his high level insights, I slowly figured it out. And what was a big moment for me was the first time I wrote something that Eben was willing to show the customers. And it probably was about 6 months before I wrote something that he would actually like let go out to the list, you know, because he'd worked really hard to build up this list. I believe there was 1 million men on it at the time. And it was all around his sales copy that was written in a very distinct tone and personality. So, you know, 6 months in, I finally wrote something, and it was actually back in the day before podcasts, there was an interview series that he used to do where he would interview a dating expert every month. And he asked me to write up the sales pitch that talked about this new monthly interview we had coming out. And I wrote it up, and he wrote it, and he's like, okay, we're going to mail this to the list. You finally got in there. Let's see how it does. And he sent it out to the list, and it ended up being the highest performing promotion for an interview series thing that we'd ever sent. And I remember sitting there and looking at the shopping cart and refreshing that button as the sales came in. And when it crossed that line that made it the highest selling one, you know, I knew what the past ones were. I was so excited. And that was a huge turning point for me.
That's awesome. So I assume at this point you're now the full-time copywriter for Eben at this point.
Yeah. So I Eben's alter ego for that brand the name was David D'Angelo, and I became David D'Angelo. And then we soon launched a women's brand, and the guru there was Christian Carter. So I was also Christian Carter for sales copywriting's sake. I wrote all of the promotions for that brand, which was called Catch Him and Keep Him, along with Chance, who was the guru there. And then, of course, Eben would give us the high-level oversight and help us come up with the big ideas for the sales letter. So, yeah, we had Eben and I were a writing team for the Double Your Dating brand. And then Eben and Chance and I were the writing team for the Catch Him and Keep Him brand. And we grew those two brands to $20 million a year in sales combined. And you know, at the time, the internet marketing world was a small bubble. I guess it still is. But a lot of people were asking, hey, how did you guys do this? You know, someone would have like a product on how to be a better golfer or how to win at poker or something like that. And Eben got the idea that he was finally going to start teaching how he did it, you know, pulling back the curtain. So he put a program together called Altitude, which was designed to show people how to make their own information products and sell them online. We decided to launch that with a seminar that Eben wanted to charge $10,000 a person to attend.
I was there.
That's right. Yeah, I think that was the first time you and I met.
If yeah.
I
remember correctly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we put together a launch campaign and ended up selling out the seminar. And that was a really amazing experience as well, because we got to meet a bunch of great marketing folks like yourself, you know, and it was such an invaluable experience working with Eben because I would benefit from his connections. You know, like I just got back. Well, you and I saw each other at the Joe Polish Mastermind, the 25K group with, that you and I pay $25,000 a year to be a part of. And I remember, you know, not too long ago, being able to go to a mastermind with Joe and Eben, and I wasn't the one of the guys masterminding. I was the guy in the back of the room taking notes while the big boys shot the shit and, you know, exchanged the strategies. And I just kept the meeting notes, you know, so it was a nice full circle to be there and be a paying member and actually like be sitting at the table. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's been quite a ride.
So you guys are crushing it. You're doing, you know, $20 million a year in revenue. You're writing all of the sales copy and marketing promotions for essentially Double Your Dating, which was the name of the education company. And, you know, where did you go from there?
So, yeah. So, you know, we're going well. We've launched the Altitude brand, and Eben really liked writing the copy for that himself. And then I was writing all the copy for Double Your Dating, Catch Him and Keep Him. And then the recession hit, and it hit those two brands pretty hard. You know, I mean, dating advice is kind of a luxury item, you know, and the money's not coming in as much as something that you'd slow down on paying money for. So there were some layoffs at the company, and I was one of them. I got laid off. You know, all the copy had been written for Double Your Dating and Catch 'Em and Keep 'Em, and Eben liked writing that Altitude copy himself. So, you know, we just parted ways, and it was a bit of a shock to me at first because I was getting a nice salary from him at the time. I had benefits and all that. But at the same time, I had started an affiliate marketing company with my two brothers that was also making some good coin doing lead generation for different software programs and things like that. So like on the money side, I felt like I was okay. But then the recession started to trickle into us also, you know, when people are buying less software, the software companies couldn't pay out anything per lead anymore. So that started to dry up. And then Google decided to come in and ban affiliate marketers. So that cut out that source of income. And I was like, shit, I'm broke again. And I don't know if you remember, you and I were talking back in the day. I had a Porsche and I was talking about buying your Aston Martin off you.
Mm.
So I actually had to sell that Porsche because I was afraid I couldn't make the payments at this time. And I was living in a house in the Hollywood Hills at the time, and I moved out of the house in the hills back into an apartment with my brother. And I was like, shit, good days are over, man. I'm back to scraping by and, you know, going to McDonald's again and stuff. I was really worried. But at the same time, I did have this copywriting skill now, and I just had to figure out something to do with it. So it was around this time I met a guy named Josh who had seen me speak at one of Eben's programs. And Josh had all of these ideas of his own on dating advice products. And this guy was a personal trainer and a former gym owner who had conquered Crohn's disease and went from weighing 90 pounds, 5'11" at 19 years old to getting totally ripped and having a normal lifestyle. And so we partnered up along with my two brothers and started creating information products around his knowledge. So we had a workout program and we had some dating advice things based on his insights and some sex advice programs. And we started selling those in 2009. And that was a crazy ride as well. A lot of little tangents can be told there. Yeah, that's kind of what led into the current business we have now.
Which is what? I would love it if you'd share whatever you can about that, because I know some of it's a bit top secret. But I'll let you tell that story.
Yeah. So, you know, it took us a while to get those information products off the ground. I mean, we had the knowledge, but it was still a tough time to be in business with the recession going on and all that. But, you know, we just kept chugging along. Like, I remember at the beginning, we were mailing DVD programs out of our house, like literally like on the floor of our apartment. My brother and I were packaging them up and doing the mailings ourselves. So, you know, we did our first launch of one of our DVD products. And, you know, it took a while to get traction, but once we did, it grew pretty quickly. And we had made a full catalog of workout programs and dating advice and sex advice programs and built that list up to 1 million men ourselves. And we would always send the list surveys to figure out what they were interested in buying. And one of the surveys that we sent was asking them what they were interested in buying on the internet and what they were currently buying. And a lot of them were saying nutritional supplements. So, you know, thinking that we had a big list of guys who were into, you know, improving themselves, we decided to give a shot at making nutritional supplements. And I'll never forget, my brother came to me and he said, "Hey, have you heard of probiotics?" And I said, "No, what are those?" And he said, "Well, it's beneficial bacteria that you take, because there's bacteria in your system that like aren't always good. And it's good to, you know, balance them out by adding in beneficial bacteria." And I never heard of probiotics or even like thought about us having bacteria in our digestive tract, but I started studying it and I became fascinated with it. And I started taking them myself. And, you know, I mentioned my old business partner, Josh, had Crohn's disease, and he had to drop out of high school because he was having to go to the bathroom like 30 times a day. And there was a time, I've never mentioned this in an interview before, but, you know, maybe it's kind of TMI, but, I had some weird digestive problems where I was going to the bathroom like probably 10 times a day. Mm. And for a second there, I thought I might have Crohn's, and I asked Josh, I was like, "Dude, like, you know, I'm going like 10 times a day. Like, that's not normal." He's like, "You don't have Crohn's, but you're definitely fucked up." Shit. I don't know what to do. And I'm not the type of guy to go to a doctor or whatever, you know, which is a mistake, but I wasn't sure what to do. It wasn't like crippling my life, but that was a lot of time on the toilet. So I started taking these probiotics and it started evening me out, and I was having more like regularity. I was like, "Fuck, maybe there's something to these things." And I started researching it, and I ended up discovering all these crazy facts about how the food corporations have been putting these sugars and artificial sweeteners into our foods, like foods that, you know, probably shouldn't even have them, like hot dogs and spaghetti and things like that. And my brother wanted to get into the probiotic business, and he came up with the name Keybiotics. And I wrote a sales letter for this probiotic brand that we developed with one of the leading manufacturers in the world. And in it, I told the story of what the food corporations had done and how they had you know, gotten to the point where they were doing that, you know, and I won't go too deep into that story, but the short version is that back in the 1950s, a scientist falsely determined that fat was the cause of heart attacks. So he came back to America and was like, "You need to take all the fat out of foods." And that's what companies were using to flavor their foods at the time, but people wouldn't buy anything that had fat in it. So after the fat was stripped out, they had to come up with another flavor substitute. So they started using sugar, and sugar feeds the bad bacteria in our gut and makes it overgrow. So that's why it's important to take probiotics. And I still take them every day. You know, probiotics are beneficial bacteria that can balance that out. So yeah, I wrote a sales letter that told this story. And at the end of it, it, you know, mentioned how we had worked with this team to develop our own probiotic supplement that at the time was the most powerful in the world. And this is 2013. And, you know, these days there are probiotic brands that have more of the bacteria in them than Keybiotics did. But at the time it was one of the most potent. And we put this sales letter up, and that was when things just went bananas.
What does bananas look like?
So, bananas looks like putting the thing up the first day, and my brother, who was very skeptical, he actually didn't like my sales letter. He's like, "This isn't going to work." He puts it up, and I woke up to a text message from him, and it's like, "Okay, might have a winner here. This thing spent $16,000 and it made back $48,000 today." And I was like, "What the fuck?" Like, I'd never even heard numbers that big before. The next day he messaged me. He's like, "Yeah, I had to turn the ads off. We sold out of our entire supply of Keybiotics."
Wow. Not a bad 24 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was also sweeter because my brother was of the opinion that long form sales copy was dead. So it was a nice like personal revenge thing for me. So this was in like October, November. And the thing about probiotics is they're live culture, so they have to be grown. So we reached out to the labs and we're like, "Hey, how soon can we get another order of these?" And they're like, "Well, it's going to be, you know, a couple months." So we decided to place a big order, knowing that we were onto something. So we placed a $1 million order for Keybiotics, and they came in late December, and we turned it on January 1st, and its first day live on the internet, it did $500,000 in sales just on banner ads, no launch. Mm. And then the next day, it did $660,000.
That's amazing.
So yeah, it was like over 1.1 million gross in the first 2 days live on the web, and then it went viral. People were just going crazy over the story that where I was revealing the true things that were happening with our food supply with sugars and artificial sweeteners and all that. And people can still watch that video if they want. It's at keybiotics.com.
And is it K-E-Y?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. And, I would go on Twitter every day, and we never asked anyone to share the video. We just told about it. But I would search for the hashtag Keybiotics, and we never mentioned, hey, hashtag Keybiotics or anything like that. But I would go on Twitter every day, and there would just be pages and pages of people posting this video and being like, hey, check out this story about what the food companies are up to and the problems with sugar. And even Joe Rogan tweeted it, and Joe Rogan's a partner in a competitive supplement company.
Hmm.
And people were at the end of Joe's tweet. They were like, hey, Joe, do you know that there's a supplement for sale at the end of this thing? And he wrote back, he's like, oh, I didn't notice that, but, the other information's really good. So he didn't delete his tweet. He kept it up there. And what was most flattering for me, because I was just a researcher at this point, and had found all this stuff doing my own research. But doctors and medical professionals and scientists were retweeting this thing and talking about how their clients should read this, it was super exciting to see it just, created a phenomena. But along with that came a lot of other issues that we hadn't planned for, just like growing pains. For example, getting a batch of probiotics, and we third-party test every batch that comes to our warehouse for potency and purity to make sure that the manufacturers are putting in exactly what they claim, and to make sure no outside contaminants have made their way into the supplements. And we tested a batch, and it tested out far below our advertised count. And we couldn't keep selling them, so we had to turn our ads off and tell the company. And we're like, hey, you guys screwed us on these. You need to replace them. And they're like, well, no, you guys didn't store them correctly and whatever. And it was like a big battle. It could have put us out of business. We ended up coming to a resolution with them, but it just it was a crazy, crazy year. But yeah, that's how we got into the nutritional supplement business. And what we do now is we partner with doctors who are experts in their field, and we develop nutritional supplement and skincare lines based around their knowledge. And, we've luckily got a lot of the growing pains out of the way and, be able to scale. We have many different brands now. I believe we've taken 12 brands now to 8 figures or more in sales. And, I'm really most proud of the team we've assembled. Now I was saying I have my own team of writers that I get to work with and coach their copy every day. And we have some of the best media buyers in the world, and our graphic design team. And, we really go out of our way on customer support also. We follow the Rackspace motto of fanatical customer support, because we're in this for the long game. And each of our brands follows that same model that we learned from Eben back in the day, where they have a really valuable newsletter that goes out 3 times a week and gives people advice and strategies they can use to live healthier, happier lives. And that's one of our secrets, so to speak, to keeping our customers around and engaged, keep continuing to give them really valuable free content also.
So, the common thread that I've seen throughout all of your stories here today, is a really, really interesting one. You have it in common, Eben has it in common, and I have it in common, which is the fact that we all learned copywriting, and this skill set completely changed our lives and has resulted in millions upon millions of dollars in sales and revenue for our businesses. So It's interesting that we're talking about this right now because I'm, for the last 3 weeks, have been writing a webinar outline on my methodology for writing copy as a training webinar. So I'm super curious to hear about your methodology, if you will, for writing persuasive copy that sells. So I don't know if you have kind of an outline or a structure, but what can you share with everybody who's listening to this right now in the most tangible takeaway possible on how do you write copy that sells?
Great question. So I always go back to what Robert Collier says, and he came up with the phrase that in order to write effective sales copy, you need to enter the conversation that is going on in your prospect's own mind. So what that means, and actually I'll tell you a funny story from working with Evan. So one day I wrote this promotion for, you know, one of our dating advice products. And, you know, if anyone who studied copy, you'll know one of the like old school copy formulas is to start out with a if then statement. So something like, you know, if you're looking to meet more women and get more dates, then this will be the most important letter you ever read. So Mike, I'm sure you've seen a lot of that, or you probably used it yourself, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely one of the most historic formulas in the world, but I've seen it so many times, I'm just like, nah. But you can't argue with what works, which is the frustrating part. It's just, it taps into a basic, you know, part of human psychology where you're going to poke the place that hurts and then you're going to offer a solution.
Absolutely, yeah. So I wrote this email for the dating advice list, and it was set to go out on a Friday night. And I had started off with an if-then statement, and I think it was something along that lines like, hey, if you want to get more dates this weekend, you know, this will be the most important letter you ever read. Then I would talk about Eben's Approaching Women program, you know, about how you would taught people how to go up and start conversations and things like that, right? And I wrote this up, and I was all excited about this promotion. And I sent it to Eben to get his approval to mail out. And I was expecting him to be like, yes, awesome, let's send it. And he writes me back and he's like, hey, can you jump on the phone with me? And I was like, wow, it was a little weird tone. But I was like, maybe he just wants to tell me how good it is in person or how proud he is of me or something like that, you know? So I get on the phone with him and he's like, hey, man, so this is pretty decent by the book copy, but you're better than this now. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, well, this is something that if we sent it to the list, it would probably do pretty good. But there's a next level here that you're not hitting. And I want to talk to you about that, you know, because imagine the person you're writing to. I mean, this is a guy. He's going to get this on a Friday night. And he's probably been on our newsletter list for a little while now. And he probably hasn't bought something, or else, you know, he's not a good prospect for this particular thing anyway. He's probably been reading this stuff and like, you know, what is it going to take like to get into that guy's head and get him to finally get excited about our material and make this purchase? And you know, more than that, get excited about his dating life again after just, you know, probably feeling frustrated and bummed out and sitting there alone on a Friday. And Evan's like, I'll tell you this. It's not this overhypey, if you want to meet more women and get dates, then this is the most important thing you'll ever write. It's not this. All right. This guy has heard a ton of that shit. So what's the next level here? And I was like, oh, shit. And I didn't know what the hell he was talking about. So he's like, well, go back and figure it out. And this was a little weird, a little frustrating, because I'm thinking like, well, dude, we can just send this, like it's going to get some sales or whatever, you know? But I was like, no, I'm going to look at this as a learning opportunity because Evan knows what he's talking about. So what is this next level? And I thought about our customer and who the guy was and where he would be sitting when he got this email and what would be going through his mind on a Friday night at home reading his email. You know, maybe his friends were all out on dates or partying, and he's frustrated and sitting there and thinking, you know, why don't I have a girlfriend? Why doesn't anyone love me? Things like that. And I don't remember the exact copy I wrote, but it was something like, you know, dear Mike, imagine this. So you look down at your phone and you have a text message from a girl that you've been thinking about and wanting to ask out. And it's a message from her, and she is asking what you're up to tonight. Now, imagine if before responding to that message, you had to really think about what you were going to say, because it was one of several messages you'd received from hot, desirable women that you were excited about seeing on that same night. And you actually had to choose which of these girls you wanted to spend your weekend with. Wouldn't that be exciting? And like, think about how your friends would look at you if they knew that you were the one that these women were interested in. They would probably ask you what your secret is, what your magic is. Well, you know, there was a time a long time ago when if someone would have asked me what that would be like, it would have felt so far from the life I was living in. I wouldn't have even known how to imagine it, because I would have never had women write me a message wanting to hang out. You know, I couldn't even get a date if I was showing up on a girl's doorstep with flowers. But I tell you what, it's amazing for me to even say this right now, but now this happens to me all the time. Not a day goes by when I don't get a message from a woman asking me what I'm up to and wanting to hang out with me. And it's because I figured out a few little secrets to sparking desire in women, and I want to share them with you right now.
So I'm gonna cut you off right there. And that's off the cuff, brother. That's brilliant. Like, you're not even reading that. I know you're just pulling that out of your head. What I want people to know is that you can say those words and you can put that in writing because you actually lived that. Like, you went through that whole phase of education and learning that skill set, right? So you knew exactly how that person felt before, and you knew exactly what was possible afterward because you've actually gone through it, right? So I think that's important to know as well, because it brings authenticity to your sales message, which for me has always been the key to my success when it comes to copywriting, is it's authenticity, you know, in the story.
Yes, absolutely. However, I will say that, you know, a truly skilled copywriter, if you're going to do this and make a good living at it, you need to be able to get in the head of a prospect, whether you can directly relate to them or not.
Mm-hmm.
And Evan taught me a fantastic exercise for doing this that I teach to my guys now. And what Evan had me do is he had me sit down and write an autobiography as that prospect. So if you'll remember, I was also writing for Catch Him and Keep Him at the time. And I don't really know what it's like to be a 41-year-old woman that, you know, has recently gotten divorced and is just starting to date again and feeling frustrated. You know, I could not relate to that at all. But I, you know, what I would do is I would sit down and I would imagine myself as one of these women. And, you know, I'd read their comments and emails that they would write in, and I would, you know, give myself a name and an age. And I would think about how many kids I'd had, or if I had, you know, what type of career I was in. And I would just start writing all that. So I'd say, you know, hi, my name is Marcy and I'm 41 years old. I have two kids. They're 5 and 7. And, you know, I really thought I was going to be married to their father for the rest of my life. And then, you know, things don't always turn out as planned. So here I am. You know, I love my job working as an elementary school teacher. But I've had a really frustrating time meeting men lately. You know, that was until I met James, and James and I have been having some, you know, really exciting talks. But I can't figure out if he's feeling the same way that I am, and I'm really frustrated. And I would just keep writing and writing. And that's what Evan would have us do, is, you know, going into all these details. And then he would say, finish that autobiography and then pick up your blank piece of paper. Now write your sales message to that person.
Super powerful.
That's really thoughtful. Yeah.
Super powerful. What are some of the other strategies that you use and that you teach your team members?
So, you know, these days we are living in an age of distraction, right? There's so many things pulling at our attention. And, you know, remember back, you know, it wasn't too long ago, Mike, when internet browsers didn't even have tabs. You know, you could only look at one thing at a time, but now you're like encouraged to pull up a bunch of different websites. And, you know, then when you're on your computer, you got your cell phone buzzing. And, you know, when you're on your cell phone, I mean, forget about it. There's Snapchat and Instagram notifications and WhatsApp. And, you know, it's like so much chaos going on, right? So what you really need to do to be a successful writer, not just a copywriter, but to write anything, get people to listen, is to fully capture their attention despite all the distraction going on. And I thought that one of the best ways to do that is to provide extremely valuable and relevant content. So if you're giving someone content around the area that they are interested in that is instantly applicable, that they can't find anywhere else, you know, they're not going to find in a men's health magazine or, you know, browsing around on Huffington Post or wherever, they're going to keep following along. So, you know, what Gary Bensavenga says, who's one of the greatest, if not the greatest living copywriter, says, you know, your advertising must be valuable. It must add value to the user, whether they buy your product or service or not. And, you know, I agree 100%. And what I will do at the beginning of any piece I write is I'll let them know what type of valuable content is going to be in there. So, you know, for example, maybe if I was going to write something for women's dating advice products, I would start off the message, you know, and in the beginning, it would say something like, you know, in just a minute, I'm going to let you know about three mistakes even women who have their act together make that could scare off Mr. Right. And the sad thing is that, you know, many women make these mistakes without ever knowing it. And, you know, I'm going to reveal what those three mistakes are today so you can pay attention and make sure you don't make any of them. So, you know, I'll put that teaser at the beginning. And then the mistakes will be the valuable content in it. But here's the thing is those mistakes have to deliver also. So what's a common mistake, Mike, that you've heard that women make with men?
I have no idea.
Okay. Well, what's one a woman's made with you? How about maybe like blowing up your phone too much or being too, you know.
Sure. Needy or too demanding too much attention or insecure.
Okay, great. So let's say you're promising your reader that you're going to, and your reader's a woman, you're going to promise her that you're going to tell her three mistakes that women make with men and that many women would make without knowing them, right? So your reader has read a lot of women's magazines and, you know, probably some relationship advice books, and she's heard a lot about a lot of mistakes in the past. And if she gets to your first mistake and it is something along the lines of coming on too strong or being insecure and needy, her immediate response is going to be, oh, I've heard this shit before. I just read this in Cosmo, and boom, click off, right? Gone. So while that might be one of the biggest mistakes that a woman can make with a man, you need to give content that is something that they have not heard anywhere else. That is probably counterintuitive, you know? So what I'll do in that situation, if I'm going to write something for a women's dating brand, for example, you know, as I would ask the guru, I'd be like, okay, give me your 10 mistakes that women make with men. Now, which of these is the most surprising that when you say in your coaching sessions or your talks, you know, that women are like, oh shit, like, you know, this is something I had no idea about. And that's the one that you lead with. You know, you want the reader to get to that point and be like, whoa, you know, and like ideally you want them to like take out a pen and write that down and have an epiphany, you know. And you can put that mistake of coming on too strong or being needy like in there later, but you definitely don't want to lead with it. And ideally, if you're promising three mistakes that are something they've never heard before, you need to deliver on that promise or else they're going to be gone. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think that the most effective way to get past all of the barriers, if you will, or objections, whether they're conscious or unconscious from a prospect's perspective is the fastest way to bypass all of those is through education. And it's exactly what you're saying. If you can teach someone something, you instantly get to the top of their hit list as a trusted resource and a valuable resource in their mind. But it has to do what you said. It has to be unique and it has to be truly valuable, because if you set up that promise and then you underdeliver, which is what you're talking about here, then it's just, gosh, damn it, this is just another person who wasted my time. And then they're gone forever.
Yep. And I'll tell you another little secret is if you can make that content that you're promising extremely valuable, they're going to go ahead and share it with their friends. So that's another thing I strive for. I think the next level is making that so valuable that they cannot help but send it out in an email to other people or post it on their Facebook or something like that. You know, and that's when you know you've got a really solid promotion there, is when people are spreading it around. And that's what happened with this Keybiotics promotion. You know, the story in there was so intriguing, and it was something that was so unbelievable. You know, they couldn't like even picture that it could happen in North America, and people were just like so compelled that they had to share it, you know. And I think that you can create something with you know, that content that is that valuable in any market, you know.
So I haven't read that letter yet, but I'm dying to. It's the first thing I'm going to do as soon as we finish our interview today. But I'm going to guess that it is filled with facts or supporting evidence.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's going to freak you out how much of these facts and supporting evidence is in there. It's actually scary, the things that our government and food corporations have been doing.
Well, I mean, I think that's the key to its success, because it has to be believable in order to get, you know, doctors to write in and to share it. It has to be filled with facts and evidence. And if it's just hyperbole, if you will, or filler, it's just dismissed as manipulative sales copy. If you put in charts, if you put in facts and figures and cite your sources, then all of a sudden this becomes a truly valuable piece of information that, you know, deserves to be read, respected, and shared.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if you can jar them up with the first point, you know, that's when people are really going to be like, whoa, what is this? This is something I never heard. You know, another example that's like not related to sales copy, but is related to getting people reading and engaged with something. You know, I think you saw the article I wrote a year ago that the title is How to Increase Your Income by 10x in the Next 4 Years.
Right. Yep.
And if you, and someone who reads that title, you know, How to Increase Your Income by 10x in the Next 4 Years, what they're expecting to get into that article, like, I think they're expecting when they skim it that they're going to see point number one, and it's going to be like, ask your boss for a raise.
Work harder.
Yeah. It's like, you know, be the first one in the office, or, you know, work smart, or like, you know, switch industries or some shit like that. Right. But my first point in that article is stop watching porn.
Yeah. So that is what we would call a, why is the term escaping me right now? A pattern interrupt.
Yeah. It really does, because they're expecting to see something like work related. And then I went deep in the recesses of someone's dark mind, you know, and I'm like, what's really preventing people from making more money? And I was like, you know, thinking about like, what have been things that have like affected me in the past that have, you know, had me doing less work than I should have been. And I got real honest with myself and with the readers. And I was like, you know, I'm not ashamed to admit that I've probably spent too much time in my life watching pornos, you know, time that I could have been spent making money. So I put that front and fucking center, man. And, you know, some of the media outlets that picked up this article were actually putting that in their caption when they would share it on their social network. They would say like, how to 10X your income. Step number one, stop watching porn. And that just because it's such clickbait.
Totally. You know what I mean? Yeah, totally. And the article is fantastic. Like, I read it, thought it was awesome. And you actually deliver in all of your steps with, you know, truly valuable, you know, insights. So do you know how many times that article got shared?
I think something like 20,000. Wow. NextShark doesn't do a count thing, but that's what the owner of the site told me. And yeah, you know, if you want to, you know, if those listening go and look at this article, it would have been really simple to make this article into a sales message, you know, how to increase your income by 10x in the next 4 years. And then I give seven counterintuitive but very effective tips here. I got really honest with myself. I was like, you know, what have I done to increase my income? And this is actually a true story. I 10x my income in 4 years by like, you know, getting my shit together. And like, I identified those seven steps. And if you, you know, this could easily be a sales presentation. Like at the end of the seventh step, I could be like, you know, if you want more steps like these, I've put together a comprehensive course in which, you know, I'm going to give you a video every week that shows you exactly what to do to, you know, take these steps in your life and personally hold your hand, walk you through it, you know, I decided, you know, I'm going to make it affordable for everybody. I'm going to, you know, charge just $97 and you're going to get, you know, my personal coaching on these seven tips. And, you know, go here to sign up. It's guaranteed. You know, I would get a ton of people buying that course. So, you know, circling back to what we were talking about before about like, you know, how to get effective, make an effective sales message in this age of distraction we're living in. It's getting an effective sales message is the same way you get, you put out effective content that gets shared around a lot and adds value to people's lives is you make it super fucking valuable. And you make it shit that they can't hear anywhere else. And it really is as simple as like taking that content and then selling them something at the end of it. You know, it really is. But just also know that if you're using this strategy, that you're setting the bar pretty fucking high. So your content better be awesome as well, or you're going to get a shit ton of refunds. You know, the content that you're asking them to pay for.
You know, one of the first ads that I ever wrote myself, which was for my first ebook, Magnetic Sponsoring, you know, back when I was in my mid 20s, it was a very similar strategy and similar pattern. I didn't really understand probably at the time what I was doing, but it's the same thing. And the headline for the ad, and this is, you know, a book on attraction marketing for people in the network marketing industry, the MLM world way back when. Mm-hmm. And in that world, 90 to 95% of, you know, the distributors, when they're building their business, they're dependent upon buying leads from lead generation companies because either you don't want to hit up your friends and family members or you already have and they're not buying or talking to you anymore. So you're left with one option, which is to go buy leads. And so the headline for the ad was "Only suckers buy leads."
Mm.
And that's
awesome.
It's an in-your-face challenge to the truth and to what they're doing and a pain point in their life. And it calls out that entire elephant in the room, if you will. And that one little
basically tells them yours is different. That's what I love about it.
Yeah, well, exactly. And the flip side of that is though, if you're going to make a claim like that, you better be able to back it up. You know, with content. So it's the same formula. And if you can deliver on both of those expectations, then you have a grand slam on your hands. So this is awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, something else that's the reason I think this, why this is so magical is because, you know, and Eben is actually the master of this. So Eben calls it moving the free line.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is, you know, back in the day, it would be, you know, all sales message to get to the valuable content. And Eben's expression means moving that line and giving some of that valuable content away free. Because when you do that, when you give away things that are really valuable that they haven't heard anywhere else, folks are going to automatically credit you with having truly amazing paid content. So they're going to read the free content and they're going to be like, fuck, he gave me this for free? Imagine how great the stuff is going to be that after I actually make an investment in this product or service. You know, that's especially true with information products.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, you just and tell me your opinion on this because I don't know what your answer is. So I am constantly writing copy for my own products and services, and I'm constantly going through my old swipe file and reading people's stuff and brushing up on copy. And if you read the material or the sales letters, you know, that are in my swipe file from, let's say, 5 to 10 years ago, all of the bullets are this very benign, secretive stuff, like the one special way to do X, Y, or Z, or, you know, it's, I don't know if that, is that the right word? Is it benign or secretive or mysterious, if you will? And
and make them wanting to find out what it is.
Well, I read that stuff and I don't have patience for it anymore. I'm like, oh, this just feels so scammy to me and I think it's a lot, I'm going to give Eben a lot of credit for this. Marketing that I've seen over the last, let's say, 5 years has had to become so authentic and transparent that I don't see bullets like that anymore. Like I see much more specific, tangible takeaways rather than the mysterious, secretive stuff. So what totally. What is your thought or opinion on that? Because it turns me off now. If I start to read that, I automatically dismiss it.
Well, you know, I mean, this is a really great question, and you know, something I was thinking about. I was like, you know, what is the difference now? You know, so the difference now between my sales copy now and the sales copy I was writing, like, you know, even like 5-6 years ago when I was writing some like stuff that was pretty good, but like these days, I feel like I've reached the next level myself where I'm able to write something that, you know, has an explosion on the internet and you know, grows a brand really quickly. And I think what I've actually stumbled upon the conclusion is that, like, really, it's not about selling anymore, because people have been, you know, as we get more distractions, like Instagram, Snapchat, all that shit, we also get more advertisements. You know, back in the day, you know, people used to go out and do things outdoors, and now they're all indoors on their phone and the tablets and shit, which means they're also viewing more advertisements. So ads become, you know, even like harder to grab someone's attention with, because they're seeing just such a higher percentage of advertising than they were, you know, even 5 years ago. So I heard Bob Pittman speak recently, and he's the founder of MTV and also was the president of Clear Channel. And he said something that really resonated with me. He said, you cannot sell anything. The only thing you can do is explain why what you have to offer solves the problem your prospect is facing. You can't really push it on them. You can only explain. And what giving away valuable content does is it shows them that you have that solution. It's putting your fucking money where your mouth is, you know?
Dude,
that's the essence of sales. That's air.
Yeah, no, you're hitting it. My conclusion that I've come up with is that, you know, my approach now is to prove as quickly as I possibly can that I have a solution that will deliver on your expectations and solve your problem. And the sooner I can get to, and more effective I can be at demonstrating that proof, and the faster I can do it, the more effective that sales presentation is going to be, because people don't have the patience to go through and sit through this, you know, story, if you will. I mean, they do, but for me, it's deliver value, which provides proof of expertise. And then, you know, well, I'll just put it this way, like the Self-Made Man Society membership that I have. In the actual sales video, the last 20 minutes of the sales video is actual footage from the very first lesson. And I'm just like, look, decide for yourself. Here's the first 20 minutes of the first lesson. Check it out. And if you know, it makes sense for you to join, then join. But that's it. It's just showing proof of what I have to offer, let you experience it firsthand, and then you make the decision.
Absolutely. And you know what it comes down to is respecting your prospect's time. And I think that does a fantastic job of showing your prospect that you respect their time. You're not going to bullshit them with a bunch of crap. You're going to deliver them something valuable, whether they spend money or not, because you respect their time and the attention that they've focused on your presentation and for giving you that chance, you know? And you only get one chance to do that. And if you take that chance and give them a bunch of salesy bullshit, you know, that's like, you know, alluding to something and never giving any meat, it might have worked even 5 years ago, but these days they're just going to click off, man. There's too many distractions going on. So if you're not delivering value instantly, you're losing the prospect.
Mm. Powerful stuff, brother. Powerful stuff.
Yeah.
So this has been awesome. Any last words of wisdom when it comes to copywriting? Any more like hard and fast rules of thumb, if you will, on how to write persuasive copy? And then where can people connect with you to either learn more about essentially your consulting firm or what else you have going on?
Yeah. So I think we nailed it as far as what, you know, what someone can do here. I think we've got to come up with some good action steps. So just to summarize is enter the conversation that is happening in the prospect's mind. And if you're unsure what that conversation is, put yourself in their shoes and write that autobiography about them, you know, really get into some nitty gritty detail. Imagine every aspect of their life and, you know, write as though you were them. And then think about the conversation that they're having that is centered around the product or service you have to offer. And then from there, once you know what that conversation is, think, how can I add value to that conversation? How can I give them something that's instantly applicable that they can't find anywhere else? And then do it, you know, come up with one or more things that you can do to give it to them. And then simply let them know that there's plenty more where that came from. And that's a fucking powerful sales message, man, right there. It's the formula is that simple.
Yeah, agreed. And it's all built on authenticity and transparency, which is which is why it works today. So
yeah, show respect their time and then do it.
Awesome, brother. Yeah. So where can people go to connect with you and learn more about what you're up to?
Yeah, so I don't do any consulting or freelancing. I only write for my own brands. However, I'm really on my one of my goals this year is to just give back in forms of doing interviews like this. And I thank you so much for having me. It's been so much fun. You know, and I'm trying to do a lot of posting of knowledge, and I'm gonna, videos and just sharing all the things I've learned to help make your writing more impactful and, get off your ass and make more money and, make more impact with your prospects and in the world. So I've got a Facebook page set up where people can go and check out that stuff. And if people ever want to see that article I wrote, it's you can just Google Craig Clemens and Next Shark, and that's up there as well. You can see my strategies for increasing your income by 10x in the next 4 years. And then, check out my Facebook. I'm going to be posting a bunch of videos there and doing some Facebook Live presentations. And I actually don't have anything to sell either, because I just really get off and give them back. And, I'm fortunate that I have a successful business that, I get a lot of inspiration from and pays the bills, so I don't have anything to sell. I'm just giving a bunch of stuff away that I really, really hope helps people.
Awesome, brother. Well, Craig, thank you so much. And guys, we'll put links to all of Craig's pages and resources in that article on the blog as well. So just go to MikeDiller.com/blog, click on his episode, and we'll have links for those items for you. So Craig, thanks again, brother. Appreciate you and looking forward to seeing you next time.
Yeah, man. Thank you for having me. And hey, thank you for putting this Self-Made Man podcast together. I listen to all these myself. I think it's the most valuable one out there. And I'm honored to be on it. This has been a lot of fun.
Awesome. Well, that's super cool. Thank you so much. All right, guys. So we will see you next week. If you got some value from this episode, which I know you did because I did, this is super valuable stuff. Make sure you share it with your friends and family. Self-Made Man is totally dependent upon your recommendations and referrals. I don't advertise this. It's just based on word of mouth. So thank you for your support. And thank you again, Craig. And we'll see you guys next week. We'll be right back.